Einsteigen, aufdrehen, losfahren. Mit dem neuen Volkswagen T-Roc bist du bereit für den großen Auftritt. Selbstbewusst und voller Power. Du steigst ein? Keine Kompromisse. Nur du und der Moment. Alles passt. Dein Sound, dein Drive, dein T-Roc. Rockt. Der neue T-Roc.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep your love, I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Welcome to Watching the Throne,
a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name's Chris Lambert.
My name's Travis Bean, and I'm pretty excited about today. I mean, obviously, we're going to be talking about Down to Two. That is reason alone to be excited, but I think more than anything, I'm excited to make my return to YouTube today.
Yeah, it's been a minute. You came out of your hiatus just to make a video about Ye and Cardi B making
Cardi
a song
B. Well,
together.
Well, you know, when Cardi B's involved, being a Cardi B fan, which I think half of our listeners just stopped listening. Being a Cardi B fan, I feel obligated, of course, to cover that news, but also because I am in such a minor camp, I think. I don't think Kanye fans and Cardi B fans necessarily intersect all that often, so I have to be there to represent those kind of fanboys.
That is very true. You need to step up in those situations and be like, hey, I'm here representing all of you. Yeah, because I saw that news, I was just like, eh.
And I was like, ooh, like something exciting is happening with Kanye finally.
Yeah, yeah, finally, you know, finally. Which, yeah, it wasn't too long after that that we got the first rumblings of Donda 2. And I got to say, I don't know why I'm surprised. Like, I was surprised when I heard, but when we think back through Ye finishing albums, yeah, he almost always has another one announced so quickly after.
Like, yes. Go ahead. Keep going.
Oh, like we knew when College Dropout came out that he wanted to do late registration and graduation, right?
Right.
And then when graduation came out, he had already started talking about Good Ass Job. What Yeezus comes out and he starts talking about the next album and how that was going to be like Yeezus 2, or he said it was going to come out like that winter,
right?
Kind of thing. And then it took another two and a half years for it to actually drop, almost
right.
3 years. And then in the aftermath of Life of Pablo, he announces TurboGrafx-16. Ye comes out, he announces Yandi, like Jesus is King, Jesus is King 2. So after he makes an album, he's usually really like energized to make another album. But then those things almost never, ever come out.
It's funny because it makes me think of U2 and Bono, where like I think of them as very similar people, and Bono does this, like he's done this so many times with his albums, where like one album will come out and he wants it to be like a double album and they convince him not to, and he wants to put out a companion album. There's always second albums and sequels and companion albums. And this past decade, they actually finally did it. They released The Songs of Innocence. And then Bono was like, Songs of Experience is coming next year. And of course, it's like several years, but it actually finally comes out. But it doesn't come out the next year like he says it will. Like, it's something both of them have done. They're both these larger-than-life figures and really dedicated to their art and want to amplify their voice as much as possible and want to capitalize on any possible marketing opportunity for the album that just came out. Like, I've seen it all before, and we've seen it with Kanye over and over. Like, I want Donda 2 to come out, and we're going to talk all about it. And it's, you know, the machinations are in place. It sounds like it's going to come out. Like, all logic would point to it coming out, but it never does. So so this episode, I guess, is just going to be kind of covering all that stuff that ideally will lead to a Donda 2, and then we just have to wait and see if it actually comes.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have good news in the fact that they've rented out the hotel. That's something that we've seen. Theophilus London, who had previously worked with Ye, I think they're the most potent's not the word that I'm looking for, But the mm-hmm. time that they were working together most closely was 2012, 2013, and 2014, where Theophilus London actually released an album that was executive produced by Kanye. Mm-hmm. But it eventually came out in interviews in the aftermath of the album completely flopping. It was kind of surprising with the attention London was kind of getting in media for his fashion stuff, mm-hmm. his collaboration with Ye. He had a single that had Ye on it, which was a pretty like good song.
Right.
I remember liking it. But the album ended up doing like 16,000 copies first week or something, or
right.
like 30,000 copies first week, really low. And with the executive produced by Kanye tag on it, it seemed like there'd be more hype. Mm-hmm. Then it turned out Ye actually did nothing on the yeah. album. It was just like a gift. I will let you use my name. But they had a bit of a disconnect for a number of years until recently. And Theophilus has kind of been the plug in terms of behind the scenes things going on, posting to his Instagram story, like the room where they're currently working on Donda, where you can see some of the engineers working. He's had photos with Ye. He's had a photo of Ye and Future listening to music, and
he's taking kind the Casey getting Pluto role.
Yeah, yeah, that's that's who he is this time. Or like when Life of Pablo was going on, Mike Dean was often getting on
right.
Periscope when that was a thing on Twitter, and just sharing like live looks behind the scenes as they were mixing and mastering the Life of Pablo. But everybody was like, play music, play music. And he'd keep joking, like, should I play music? Like, once we get this pizza, we'll go back to working on Donda or Life of Pablo.
Yeah.
And everybody would be like, you're just sitting around. It's been an hour and you're just smoking weed. Like, why aren't you working on the album?
He's got to get into the Zen mind state for the album.
Yeah, it was a good time, but Theophilus is the Casey right now,
yeah.
and we're getting these behind-the-scenes looks. And so Ye has liked to work in hotels in the past. Like, there's the stories of Makey watch the throne, where they rented out like floors on the Mercer Hotel in New York, and they did that for a couple different albums. For Yeezus, he worked out of hotels in Paris and New York City and somewhere else. It's just been something he's kind of always done. So right now they have this hotel rented out. There's people coming in and out. We just saw an Instagram post that Vori's heading to Los Angeles. We know that Future's around, like Fivio has been there. So people are doing things, but they were also doing things for Yandy.
Like, right. Yeah.
Yandy had like all these people come through and record things and get mostly finalized versions of songs before Ye decided he wasn't vibing with it and scrapped it. So
yeah, at least of Yandy there were a couple things at play. Like a lot of the songs got leaked, right?
Yeah, eventually. Yeah.
Oh yeah. But also like he completely changed like his focus. Like we saw like the next version of Ye come in and Yandy didn't fit anymore. Donda too, like Donda just happened. Like I don't think Kanye is like massively different than he was a few months ago. If he's really in this mind state and the space and he's working with this many people, like again, all logic points to like, okay, it's happening, like we're gonna get it. I don't know about February 22nd, but we might still get it soon.
Well, we did hear in the aftermath of Donda releasing that like two key things came out. One, that Ye had been working on an album called Spirits Over the Horizon, mm-hmm. which was kind of shocking because nobody knew that. Like, it wasn't a thing that was being talked about in the period between, say, like February and June. Like, right. fans weren't speculating on what's going to be on Spirits Over the Horizon. It was something that we didn't get info on until I think right before Donda came out or right after Donda came out. And that's apparently what he was working on in the Green Tile studio when he was in San Francisco doing some things, when he was in Los Angeles. And it's eventually what morphed into the Donda that we ended up getting. Obviously, they did a ton of work in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Mm-hmm. And in that month, they were back in Los Angeles after the second listening party, but before LP3. But apparently, there was a lot of tracks left over from that. And we know mm-hmm. that he had been working on like God's Country, Donda, that 2020 version of the album, and that there were things from that cut of the 26 songs that were on some of those orange sheet track lists that ended up on the Donda that we ended up getting. Mm-hmm. But you imagine there's more songs from Spirits of the Horizon. So there was this a huge amount of songs worked on even ahead of Donda. But then we also got reports right after Donda dropped in interviews with some of the engineering team where two different people mentioned that Ye was working on a follow-up album that was just going to be putting together a lot of the tracks that mm-hmm. didn't make Donda.
Right.
These songs that he had never finished but wanted to go back to and finish. So, I mean, there is potential that this is kind of in that vein or something that's evolved from that point where Kanye's going back to some of these older songs. And who knows like what old means, right? Is it just Spirit of the Horizon songs? Is it 2020 Donda God's Country? Or is he going all the way back to TurboGrafx-16? Like Yandi, you know, spring, summer, winter, fall, whatever that was back in 2008 that he mentioned to a French magazine.
I feel like it has to be anything. It has to be like post Jesus is King. Because even Donda, like while it's gospely and spiritual, it doesn't necessarily sound like Jesus is King. Mm-hmm. It's a little more darker and brooding and internal. And I could see him kind of breaking out of that space and making more uplifting stuff, kind of like Up from the Ashes or Come to Life. But I can't imagine it like, I feel like anything sounding like Jesus is King would be going backwards a little bit. So, and then on top of that, like he wouldn't be recording probably anything he was thinking about during like TurboGrafx-16. Like he seems way past that at this point. So it's all stuff I think he's been working on recently, which again, logically means like, oh, like he must have a bunch of songs and like he's in, and all these songs match where he's at right now. Like it, those songs must be coming soon. But we saw even during the Donda rollout, all the different listening parties, like a lot of the songs were like mostly done, but still took several weeks, over a month to like finish and like tinker with. Like, I just don't think Kanye's the kind of person that's going to ever make himself commit to a date he throws out there. He's missed the date so many times. No matter how much meaning he attaches to the date, like he did this time, like he almost never meets it.
No, I'm trying to think. The only time I think he released on time to like an initial release date was never. I don't know. It was
Yeezus. Wasn't only Yeezus only a few days late?
I think Yeezus got pushed back like a couple days. Yeah.
Something like that. Because I remember it not being ready on the day I thought it would be ready. Just like inklings of that memory.
Yeah. Wasn't it supposed to be like the first week of June and then it got pushed to...
Something like that.
That second week. But I do know 808s and Heartbreak actually came out a week ahead of when it, or like 2 weeks ahead of when it was supposed to come out.
The only time he missed it was when he went the other direction.
Yeah. But I think they had pushed it back and then he came forward again.
Got it.
And then My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, maybe? I don't remember when they announced the date for that, but.
I don't remember. I would just assume no, though. I mean,
yeah, at least like, at least in the last decade of Kanye albums, like things have not dropped as expected. Yeah. I guess Ye came out the day that it was supposed to come out, but
the morning it did. It was eight hours later than I thought it would be.
So he had that, but yeah, there's not a good track record of hitting those dates. And at least Ye, you know, he was working on that over the course of 3 weeks just by himself for the most part. So you wonder if he was able to get those songs kind of to the place that he got them that quickly. Maybe it'll be the same thing for this. But we have seen him promote the 2/22/22 dates a couple times now. Mm-hmm. He had posted to Instagram the picture of the house, his Chicago childhood home, the one that was at LP3 burning, which definitely sends a message. I mean, it follows up with already the imagery of the house on fire that he was going with during Listening Party 3. But in the wake of Easy, in the wake of this 2022 Ye energy, there's still something that feels very like demon time Ye, which I don't mean that. I know that maybe Ye would be like, don't compare me to Demon Time when like I'm a man of God. But it's just something where Ye has more of that like edge back in a way.
And that edge is driving him. Like he like he would consider it a failure not to meet this date, which I guess what you did mention and what makes me believe a little bit more in the February 22nd date is that we've seen that date multiple times. Like I feel like in the past it's just Kanye sending off a tweet like the album's coming out on this day, like get ready, and then
which is like 3 days later,
something, even if it's like not even three, it's like a little bit into the future, like, and then you never hear about it again. Like the fact that he keeps sticking with the date, I mean, like that's a pretty bold thing to do. Like you're really going all in and making it apparent to everybody, like no, this is the day, like don't expect it to shift at all.
Yeah, he's gotten rid of his phone. That was the other big thing.
Right.
Where it seems like maybe in the previous times where he'd announced dates, he was still like tweeting and posting and kind of on to other subjects, which made him not talking about it even more infuriating or frustrating. Because it's like, yo, you just announced Yandy 3 days ago and now you're just tweeting about like random stuff. What about Yandy? Like, where is Yandy?
Get to work.
Yeah, and so he had the founder of Rolling Loud post a message that was just Ye getting a massage. He's on the table, and he's just like, I want everybody to know I got rid of my phone. My only priorities right now are taking my kids to school and finishing up like Donda 2, like finishing up the album. So, and he's been talking about the album for a few weeks now. He mentioned it in the video when he was trying to go to Chicago's birthday party. He mentioned it in text messages even further back to other people. So it seems like he's at least been going in on this for a couple months at least. Mm. And so maybe that's enough of a runway leading up to 2/22/22. And then Digital Nas, who was the producer on Junya and your favorite, Remote Control, ended up doing an interview recently where he talked about working on Donda 2, and specifically that Ye has been wanting more of a monk-like sound in terms of having things be kind of meditative, simple, stripped back.
Not surprising.
But at this, it gets into everything you were saying about like the ambience, vibes, and energies on Donda. And we'd been seeing him make movements toward this monk-like, like the minimalist content that was part of Ye and Jesus is King. And even though Donda as an album is really large, a lot of the songs on there do feel very focused in terms of their concept or soundscape. You're not getting a lot of the epic, rangy songs that you usually see, especially on like Yeezus. You're not really getting that whole My Liquor, New Slaves, I'm In It, Blood on the Leaves.
Guitar solos. Kind of
like beat drops and shifts all over the place.
Yeah.
It's almost like Ye replaced a lot of the production flips and tricks that he used to be doing with the use of different artists as kind of instruments. So he's allowing the different artists to kind of come in and bring their vibe and energies to a stripped back ambient soundscape. And that's really what's carrying a lot of the energy and attitude.
I mean, I love it. I hope he keeps going that direction because, Donda is so huge that, like, it almost can't be a monk-like album. Like, no matter how some of the songs are, like you're describing, like, very meditative, very ambient, it's so big and trying to accomplish so much. Like, I would almost expect Kanye, if he really wants something monk-like, to create something much shorter. Maybe not Jesus is King, sure, but possibly something that short, like something really condensed and a focused sound. That would be cool.
Yeah. In that like 40 to 60 minute range, I think is usually the preference that people have for albums.
Right.
I tend to not like less than 40 minutes.
Right.
But then once you're getting into that hour, hour and a half range for an album, that can also be on the opposite side of things. But there was also another statement that Digital Nas talked about in saying that one of the missions, not the right word, what is it when you have like a set of constraints or rules? Starts with a C. blanking on it.
I don't know.
Some of the constraints for working on Dota 2 was that all the songs had to be playable at either a wedding, a funeral, a graduation, or a birthday.
And I feel like that describes every Kanye album.
If the song doesn't fit any of those occasions, then it's not going to make the album.
Those are all different, very different energies. Like, yeah. I could pull all four of those songs off The Life of Pablo.
Yeah. Wait, what would you play at a funeral? Fade?
Funeral? Well, no, not Fade. God, something like Wolves at least has the sound of that.
Yeah, I guess, is it? Maybe it is getting at like the production aspects more so than the like lyrical content.
Okay, I guess if you're talking lyrical content, there's probably nothing for a funeral in Life of Pablo. Other than like 30 Hours, which is the death of his former self or something.
Yeah, which
I guess Fade would be that actually.
But then Fade like starts talking about like dick at one point. Like,
yeah, right. But FML's like, the wifey song. You've got a bunch of banners on the album. You got like highlights and shit, so you got that. And then Graduation, I don't know. You could do it, I'm sure.
I like Real Friends as like a graduation and a funeral song.
Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
So yeah, we'll see what that actually is. It just talk more so than actually what defines the album. But I wonder too, like just thinking back to how like Stadium Status kind of defined Graduation era, if it's kind of an evolution of that Stadium Status where he's still applying it to big events, but taking it to something that's more personal to people, like more momentous.
Yeah, could be. I'm not trying to not, I want to will this album into existence on February 22nd. I don't want to get everyone down. History has not been kind to Kanye fans, but trust me, I hope it happens.
It would be nice. It would be nice. And we've seen, like, there were the number of people posting stories on Instagram. Like, right now, it's Theophilus London and Digital Nas are kind of the people to watch. And Theophilus also had a video of Mike Dean playing piano. So we know, like, Mike's around. We know that, like, Future's there. Theophilus just recently posted, too, last night, some photos from Ye's room. Which the one is just like a lamp looking down at the desk in the hotel room, but there's a book called Something's Off, and it's the Nike swoosh, but not, which is the idea of something's off, right?
Right.
How you can tell something's wrong with a design, I'm guessing, but it says donated by me. So I guess Theophilus gifted Ye this book. And then there's another post that says Ye's room, Donda 2. And there's a photo, what do you call those things that have the little short needles on? Thumbtacks.
Oh, right.
Little short needles on them. The thumbtacks. So it's a picture that says, the best way to predict the future is to create it, Black Future Month. And there's an editor's note that says, the beautiful Emmett Till in the blue overalls with his family and friends. So it's a photo of Emmett Till, just Emmett Till's story was very tragic, and you have him as just this happy kid and this idea of Black Future Month. And that gets into, I think, what we've seen so far, one of the major themes that Ye seems to be talking about and why February is probably kind of meaningful. Ye has said over the years that he doesn't like the idea of Black History Month focusing so much on the past,
right?
Because that feels limiting to him in a way that if you keep looking back, you're never going to look forward. So he's been a big proponent of not just focusing on history, but focusing on the future. So there have been a few times Theophilus has posted Black Future Month, especially in photos with Ye. So I wonder if this, especially with Ye having this photo hanging up in his room as kind of a mood board setting the aesthetic and vibe, is going to be a major focus of the album, or maybe even potentially like the album title if he changes it from Donda 2 to Black Future Month.
Yeah, I mean, those are all great points. It is funny, this would be, if this came out this month, this would be his third album released in February.
Oh man,
I think it's, yeah,
that's true.
College Dropout, The Life of Pablo, and this.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know if he's always attached that kind of meaning to February, but it is funny that like things always seem to be ramping up and then concluding in February. I don't know what kind of energy he's on where that always happens, but yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it just seems end of the year leading up to this point. Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Huh.
Persil sorgt schon seit 1907 für tiefenreine Wäsche, auch bei den Johnsons. Oder Anna?
Das stimmt. Sogar meine Oma hat schon mit Persil gewaschen.
Und als Dankeschön für über 100 Jahre Vertrauen gibt's jetzt bis zu 15 Euro Rabatt auf unser Bestes.
Das mit der roten Schleife.
Genau, made in Germany. Mehr Infos auf unserbestes.persil.de.
Wenn es tiefenrein ist, ist es Persil.
All right, Chris, what else we got? I mean, you're talking about this Don DeTue stuff every day. I'm here. I'm all on for the ride today. Like, I want to learn everything you know about Don DeTue.
Well, so we heard one snippet so far.
Yeah.
And
I listened to that.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was one line. And then it sounds like at the end, like, it just transitioned to a different song entirely. Like, all we heard was just that one line.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was like a song transition or kind of like a beat switch within the song. I'm hoping beat switch within the song.
That, I guess I'd hope so too, but that would be an insane beat switch. I would be interested to hear like what that song sounds like wholly.
Yeah, well, it's supposedly the album supposedly executive produced by Future. And right. I saw some people in the response to that snippet being like, just sounds like a Future song to me, which I honestly don't listen to a lot of Future, so I have no idea how to respond to that.
What's it called again?
Drown.
Let me listen to it for one second, because like I'm a okay. Future fan, so I don't remember thinking that. Oh yeah, it definitely does. I mean, it's I guess I hadn't put those thoughts together, but
yeah,
it totally has a Future feel, and now that I'm thinking about it. And Kanye's whole approach to be monk-like and meditative, like that isn't not what Future does. I don't know if Future necessarily does that lyrically, but his songs are very laid back. They're groove oriented. Like they kind of steep in a sound and they aren't super adventurous. Like they're a little adventurous, but you're mostly like part of this feeling that he's trying to create. So I could definitely see Future bringing that to, I'm actually really interested now to see like how those two minds come together and like what they produce.
It's really interesting to me too that Ye seems to have been like a big Future fan for a minute, and this is the first time that they're really collaborating.
Yeah, weird.
And with Ye going out during Future set at Rolling Loud, that's right. What it was. And now they recorded music together. Julia Fox had talked about the music that Ye was making with Future being the stuff that she was like most excited about. Mm-hmm. And now here we saw Future, Theophilus London shared a photo of Future in the studio with Ye in this hotel room, which, speaking of which, the hotel room where they've been working on this stuff.
The new legendary zone Kanye is occupied.
Yeah. There were early photos where you could see like the desk and the speakers and Ye standing there and he's moving like tables out of the way to kind of like get to the computer to see things. And Theophilus has shared a few photos of the room walking into the room, but now he just recently shared a photo of the room and it says remodeled by Ye. And almost everything's been taken out of the room. It's like very stripped down. A lot of the tables and things that were in there have been taken out and replaced with what looks like, you know, if you watch movies or shows that take place in Japan, I wish I knew what the name was, but they sit at the little kind of like tea tables.
Oh, right. You mean like old school, like Tokyo Story kind of movies?
Yeah. And right. They like are kind of cross-legged with the tea table like right in front of them. It's a little like personal table that's right there. There's some of those that look like they're on the right side of the room and then another little taller table on the left. But almost everything's been taken out, but the one little desk, like a single person desk that has a laptop and one speaker,
right,
rather than like all these speakers. And there's a carpet, a rug in the middle of the floor that says keep off. It kind of looks like the off-white writing. So Ye is definitely like setting a vibe in the place.
I always appreciate that about Kanye. Like, again, we talk about Kanye more like a director than we would ever talk about him like as a, just a rapper or a producer.
Yeah.
Like, he is somebody who has this next level view of things. And like, yeah. So like, when you're on set, in quotes, you know, if you're really having a director role, like, you do want a certain vibe. Like, you do want everyone to have a communal understanding about what the story is and what emotions we're going for. I mean, I don't know if most artists do that. Maybe they do, but it's just something we repeatedly see from Kanye, from all these photos that leak, and how next level he is and how enormous the entire production seems. Like, he wants to have control over the vibe, no matter how big it is, throughout that area. It's such an amazing thing to think about and then accomplish, like he always seems to do.
Yeah. Like, you think about him going out to Hawaii for like 808s and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but just the difference of like the Rosewood era in terms of wearing the suits and the rules that he had on the wall for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. And then being in the Mercer Hotel for Watch the Throne definitely sets a way different vibe than being at like a compound in Hawaii.
Yeah, right.
Versus the kind of like being in Paris and being in other cities for Yeezus. And even the stadium, like the Mercedes-Benz Stadium that he was in for a lot of the Donda recording versus now in this hotel in Los Angeles. And stripping everything out in that room gets at that idea of the monk-like existence, right? You're kind of taking everything out and making it much more of a monastery feel.
Even the album ends up having like a movie-like budget. Like, it's not just you're paying producers and other artists for their time. Like, you're paying for a space. Like, I need to have my own special space, and that means renting out a section of Mercedes-Benz Stadium for weeks on end. Like, what a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, it's awesome. Only Ye.
I love
only
it.
Ye. So Theophilus has another photo that I think this is the first time we've seen this be done. I imagine it's been done before, but it's essentially a character list.
Right.
And it's a photo of the different people and what they're doing or kind of their role. With Theophilus, it just says Theophilus, but you can kind of see below him, it's Sarah Parker, Dove assistant, Dr. Steven, chiropractor. And then someone else that it says production manager, production manager, production manager. There's a guy, Carney Dove. It doesn't really say what he does. Maybe he's also a Dove assistant. But you're seeing like just different people and the names of them. And I guess that's the people that are kind of rolling through and who are allowed access to the rooms and the floor. But we have that going on.
It's
and
like it's like Ocean's 11. Like, everyone has their role in this heist. It's Kanye's, however many people there are.
I'm hoping like 100, 150. Yeah,
Kanye's 100. Wow. Ridiculous.
And then there's a chalkboard now outside the hotel room that's the studio. So before, there was just a piece of paper that said like production in progress and then do not knock, come in. And now there's a dry erase board or chalkboard that says, please leave McDonald's in room. Thank you. We are with Future, though. Or we're with Future Theo. So Theophilus writing these things. But we know Ye loves McDonald's and loves fast food.
Even McDonald's that's been sitting in a bag in an empty room for an hour. Which I imagine it is. If someone's just leaving McDonald's in there, they're going to go find it later.
Yeah, like, where is this? Okay, I got my cold fries. Perfect. And then we just, you know, see some other people working in some other hotel rooms. There's some other people kind of coming through. That's kind of all that we know at the moment, I think, from everything. I'm trying to see if there's anything. Like, there were rumors of Ye going to perform in Australia in March after the release of the album. So I don't know if he's planning on touring. Oh, we also know that Travis Scott came through and played some beats. So if we're getting some Travis Scott production, like, Travis Scott was one of the key people working on Yeezus back in the day before like Travis blew up.
Right.
And, you know, I just think he probably brings like a good vibe and energy to this kind of thing. Like, his darker aesthetic, I think, fits with Ye and what Ye typically does.
Yeah. And one other last thing I thought of, because I think you did this video last night about Cootie being there, right?
Kuti, who directed or is the co-director of the Genius documentary that's coming out on Netflix.
I guess I feel like that's a good sign that Kanye, I mean, obviously with the documentary coming out, Kanye hype's happening now. People are going to be watching this movie. Like the lore of Kanye will build. Like, why not release an album while all that's going on? Especially if Kuti's there. Like, it's things are actually. I came into this recording kind of like, it's not going to release. But now, I don't know. I'm getting a little jazzed.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. It just feels like there's a lot. He's in his bag, you know, just for lack of better phrasing, he's in his bag.
I said all that, but I immediately remembered all the times I've said that. We just don't know.
Right. Like, oh, it's going to come out on August 6th because, you know, why wouldn't it? Or it's going to come out July 22nd. Oh. They have a commercial with Nike.
Yeah. Like, here's a million reasons why it would come out. Like, of course it will.
I said this rollout, I'm not buying another clown nose. I'm not doing it.
I'm just going to be excited that it could come out on February 22nd. I will never believe that it will.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I'm getting my hopes up, but that's part of the fun.
Absolutely.
I think that's part of the fun of it all, is just to enjoy the ride and the chaos, see what happens, meet some new characters along the way, and, you know, go from there.
That's exactly right, because people just get so pissed. Like, he said it would be here and it's not. I want to hear this song. I want to hear that song. I want the full album experience. Like, you are getting, Kanye's giving you gold when this shit happens. Like, you're getting updates every day. Like, you're getting so jazzed. You're seeing all of these legends working together, all these future legends coming into the process. Like, this is fun.
It is fun. It is fun. And, you know, the worst case scenario, even when there are delays, we typically get something, right? Like, mm-hmm. we didn't get Good Ass Job following Graduation, but we did get 808s and Heartbreak like a year later.
Right.
And, you know, we didn't get Yeezus 2 immediately after, but So Help Me God did become The Life of Pablo. Like, we got that. TurboGrafx-16 did wither on the vine and die, as did Cruel Winter.
Right.
Those things are just non-existent. But we saw Yandi kind of transform its way into Jesus is King. Like, a lot of the stuff that was talked about for Donda and whatever Spirits Over the Horizon was ended up coming through on Donda. So it's like, we still get things.
Yeah.
Even if there are some delays, like, I think we can pretty much assume, with Yandi, with Jesus is King, I think we can just pretty much assume that we should get some kind of music, famous last words, but we should get some kind of music in 2022, whether that's February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. It's sometime.
And during one of those months would be nice.
One of them. Not January.
No. We don't. We need January to rest from the previous shit year that was.
Hey, but we got.
I don't mean music-wise. I don't mean music-wise. Yeah, yeah. I just mean, you know, all the stupid shit going on in the world.
2021 was a wild, wild year. Was it better than 2020, though?
At this point, like, all the years, I feel like every year is going to be the same for the rest of my life. And maybe before 2020, they were all the same. I just didn't realize it. So,
yeah, time is kind of collapsing in on itself. Yeah,
I've stopped listening to people who say stuff like that. I'm just like, no, things are just shitty now. Like, this is the way things are.
The half glass full, glass half full perspective.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, you just accept it and, like, you know, covet the things you care about, like Kanye music.
We're so close to new Kanye music. Hopefully, we'll see.
I gotta ask, what would you want most from Donda 2? Like, what do you want Kanye to give you?
I want L.A. Monster.
Oh, you're getting specific. All right.
Yeah, I want L.A. Monster. I still think that that's a song that could happen, and I do. Like, part of me always wondered if he took L.A. Monster off of Jesus is King because he thought it was. It could be misattributed to, like, Kim, the family, yada, yada. But I do wonder if in the wake of the divorce, there's more of a, you know, L.A. Monster.
That like, sounds like really building the legacy.
It's so cool. It's just like, I don't know. It's haunting. It's exciting. It's beautiful.
It's like Believe What I Say finally coming to fruition. Like, I'd never thought I'd actually hear that song.
Or Hurricane, right?
Yeah, like, or Hurricane.
And then I know fans are always just hoping Can You Be will be on the album, but I want another switch up tone-wise. Like, I don't want more of the same that we got from Donda. As much as I love Donda, the thing that I love most about Kanye is that every album is so sonically different from every other album, like clearly different from every previous album, that I'm really looking forward to whatever new vibe that he's on and how he continues to like push himself. So I'm hoping for that. And I do want another like epic.
Yeah.
Another Jesus Lord, another Runaway, Blood on the Leaves. St. Pablo. Yeah, that's the thing I always look forward to on every Ye album is what is the like biggest, baddest, like...
We didn't get that for a little bit. Like, that's not really on Ye.
Yeah, the closest you have is Ghost Town coming in as that like epic kind of vibe and concept.
Right.
And then Kids See Ghosts, it's...
Reborn?
Like Reborn, yeah.
I said Reborn.
Reborn.
I don't know why.
The song Reborn.
I think I'm on the same page as you. Like, I definitely want a switch up. I feel like, and I don't know how to properly describe this, but I do want, like, I want Kanye to make Yeezus Part 2, but in the zone he's in now. Because, like, he's got a little bit of Yeezus vibes going. Like, he's got a little bit of that don't fuck with me vibe that is now transferring into, like, his Christianity and the role he wants to play in the world and as a leader and all that. Like, I feel like there could be some next step taken where it has like that kind of tenacity that Yeezus had and even is condensed like Yeezus, like maybe just 10 songs. It doesn't have to be a short album. It doesn't have to be as short as Jesus Is King, but you know, Yeezus is like, it's like a 45 minute album. Like, have some bigger songs in there that move, but also like it all has that monk-like feel he's going for. Like, I feel like if all those came together, I'd be in heaven, like getting to, you know, like Yeezus Part 2 in like this day and age of Kanye.
Well, if the Black Future Month vibe ends up being kind of a defining aesthetic, it really makes me think about songs like Black Skinhead and New Slaves.
Exactly.
Right? Where Ye is very much realizing, I need to be a leader because other people aren't necessarily stepping up in the way that I would hope. Like, a lot of people are talking, but not a lot of people are doing anything. And New Slaves is that song where he's really attacking institutions in society and calling things out. I do wonder if we could get something that is, as you said, more in the Donda way that he's approaching.
Totally.
Talking about some of these things, but carrying that energy of like, I'm the leader, which is something that he was saying in the Drink Champs interview where he's like, I'm the leader. Like,
totally.
I'm the leader. You get to listen. Other people aren't doing things. So it does seem like that could all kind of come together into something that's like a presidential vision, you know?
Couldn't you see it? Like, everything you're describing about Yeezus, like going after business, going after these people who aren't stepping up and being leaders and who are actually like putting people into boxes. Like, that whole storyline on Yeezus is driven by ego. Like, I can do this. And now that Kanye's kind of vanquished the ego and has given himself over more to God, the ego can be replaced by God and doing things in the name of God. Like, he can still have that anger and that desire to change the world just in a completely different approach.
I'm excited. I'm really curious to see where he goes, because we do talk about one of the main things, and you know, longtime listeners will know probably the spiel that I'm about to go on. Ooh, in terms of,
let me get my popcorn.
Every Ye album is a rehashing of the events in his life leading up to that album. So every album ends up being autobiographical, but not necessarily nonfiction, right? A lot of the times there's exaggerations, there's distortions, but it's based on the emotions he was going through in recent events. So like Graduation or The College Dropout is leading up to Ye getting his record deal and his album coming out.
Right.
It, like, the album covers that span of like Being a Kid in Chicago to the album coming out. Then Late Registration is the aftermath of that album coming out, the difference in his life, mm-hmm. and the ways in which he's growing into his role as like a hip hop like leader and ambassador in the music world, in the rap world. Graduation then is that ascension to superstar status that followed the success of College Dropout, Late Registration, and the ways in which he felt that success getting to him. 808s is after his mom dies. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is after the Taylor Swift incident and the exile and coming back from that. Yeezus is the aftermath of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and his return to the limelight and the life that he was living at that point as a bachelor that now is dating somebody that he really cares about with a kid on the way, and can he settle down into a relationship? The Life of Pablo then explores marriage and being a parent. Ye was his hospitalization and start of 2018 and everything that he was going through with his mental health. Then Jesus is King was his religious conversion or reawakening.
Right.
And then Donda was him rediscovering himself and rediscovering his mission and finding direction and putting together like this post-divorce life and post like cancel culture life and where he's at, like in jail and feeling a sense of freedom. So I do wonder.
Donda 2 is about Pete.
Yeah.
Every song's about Pete Davidson.
Yeah. It's just Pete, 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 Pete.
I mean, you were saying all that, and in my head, I'm like, well, it's only been a few months since Donda. Like, there isn't much to report. A lot of shit actually has happened since Donda, so he could make an album.
Yeah, like, I mean, I do wonder, is it going to be something where he's just getting into post-divorce stuff, like where he's currently at with Kim? Because, like,
right.
So much of Donda had songs about, like, where he and Kim were at that point and like understanding what went wrong, maybe trying to win her back, also letting her go. But at this stage in things, will he address, okay, now I'm moving on finally and I'm dating new people. This is single Ye again. Is he celebrating like Julia? Is he getting into all of that stuff? Is he just going to go full like presidential campaign on the album, like Black Future Month and get into topics? Is he getting into now like divorce dad stuff?
It's got to be one of these theories you've thrown out, Chris. Like, one of these has to be right.
One of them. But I think none of them. Like, he'll go some entirely yeah. different direction.
The other great part of being a Kanye fan, you never know where he's going. Mm-mm. Like, Donda, like, I thought I knew exactly what he was doing the whole time during the rollout. Had no idea. Like, as we started going through the album and all the nuances and how that narrative was unfolding and all the little motifs that repeat throughout, like, it was a completely different experience by the time we got all the way through it.
Yeah. The difference between like what we thought from like LP1, LP2, LP3 to even like midway through the album analysis was just like, whoa.
Yeah, totally.
Huh. So yeah, we'll see. And of course we'll be doing podcast episodes on it.
That is the other reason I hope Kanye releases this album on February 22nd, because I have a child due in early April. If he releases it like in late March, like, we're fucked. Like, we're not gonna be able to talk about this album for like a couple of months.
Right. It'll be like me just making YouTube videos and being like, Travis texted me some thoughts.
Yeah,
pretty this much. Is what he said. Well, February 22nd, yay.
Come Make on, it happen. Man. Do it for me. Come on.
Please. Please.
I do so much for you.
<He's> like,
look at all the new fans I've gotten you. Dozens.
Oh yeah. good job, Travis.
I have converted a lot of Cardi B fans into liking Kanye.
I like to think that's true.
At least one. I mean, come on, you gotta give me one.
I'll give you one. Right. I'll give you one.
I was talking to Perfect. Kanye, but thanks, Chris.
Oh yeah. You know.
Your support means a lot too.
Yeah, I'm always there for you.
Yeah, as I closet my Cardi B fandom.
No, let that fly proudly.
Okay.
All right, then. Anything else?
No. All I want to ask of our listeners is if you really, really want Donda 2 to come out on February 22nd, I think the only way it's going to happen is if you stay wavy.
And keep it loopy.
Of course.
They ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol.